Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My first ever co-host, and now joining me to talk a little football. Happy 10th birthday, buddy boy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was thinking about that when you texted me. I got off the phone. I went, wait a second. Today's the, I think it was the 8th or 19th when you asked me. And I went, that means Sunday's going to be August 20th. Wow, this is sort of weird. But it is very cool to spend a few minutes with you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. Absolutely. So, as I mentioned to the audience, you're the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. You do all kinds of great work on the website there. I do want to talk a little bit of Texans before we get into some college football.
Sure.
And we just got done talking to a caller about the Jacksonville Jaguars and Blake Bortles and what a disaster the quarterback situation is. And I said the one bad thing was when you draft a quarterback and you invest in him is the opportunity cost of not drafting the quarterbacks who are out there that you could replace him with. A guy like Deshaun Watson, maybe with the fourth pick, might have been a nice pickup for the Jacksonville Jaguars to start a new era of quarterback. You've watched Watson every single practice, every single snap, every single play of the preseason from up close. What have your impressions been so far, your takeaways from watching Deshaun Watson?
Well, I'm glad he's a Texan and not a Jaguar. I'll tell you that much. I know he's going to be tough to tackle and all, but I'm pretty glad that Leonard Fournette is actually in Jacksonville, because Deshaun Watson has been everything and then some, as advertised. I mean, his work ethic is off the charts.
He's a great example of that. I
stay like 4 or 5 hours before the game. Even on a noon game in Central Time, I usually get there about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, so I can go get my run up on the first level. And it's just, it just kind of cleanses the mind. It just kind of gets me ready for the day. And so I get done with the run, and I always finish by going out to the field. And since we've been
back to the field in so at that point, I decided I'm going to go down to the field. And
Johnny, Johnny, real quick, you're on Bluetooth or something. I need you to get a little closer to the phone. Oh, okay. Yeah, let Johnny know he's kind of cutting in and out, because I want to hear the Deshaun Watson story, as I think the audience does as well. So so we'll talk about that. I want to get into the other quarterbacks in this collegiate draft class with Johnny as well, because I know he's evaluated all these guys, because teams like Jacksonville and New York and Cleveland and everybody else are going to be in the market for these quarterbacks. So I want to talk about that with him as well. So we'll work to get Johnny on a solid line so that we can get his take. Do we have him back? Okay. Johnny?
Hey, Johnny. Sorry about that.
Hey! That's okay. Yeah, you were talking about Deshaun. You were talking about running in the stadium early in the morning.
Yeah, and I ran last night or yesterday afternoon, and after I'm done, I went down to the bowl. It's the first time I've been in the bowl for, oh man, maybe 4 weeks. And so I wanted to see what the stadium looked like. I knew there had been some renovations. There had been a new turf put in. So I was pretty excited to see that. And I get down on the field, and the cheerleaders are working on their routine. And I see I see a couple other, you know, people milling around, and then some Texans. And I see two guys out on the field, and I see one guy throwing the ball, and I'm like, it's 4 hours before the game. It's Deshaun Watson. And he's working with Jermon Hopper, who is a former teammate of his at Clemson. And it's 4 hours before the game, a preseason game, and he's out throwing the football. So his work ethic is off the charts, Shawnee. And people in Houston have really grown to love him. And he's not sitting there saying, hey, this job is mine. I'm the guy. He's handling this as a true professional would, which is pretty amazing considering – he's 3 years, 3.5 years from graduating from high school, which is pretty amazing. So he's handled this job very, very well. And when you think about the Jaguars quarterback situation as a comparison point, then you think about the Texans, you don't know who the quarterback is going to be in Jacksonville going forward, it seems. And you may not know what's going on in Houston, but at least with Savage and Watson, you feel pretty good about the progress those two are making. Whereas you look at Jacksonville, and those people there are thinking, well, the season's over because now we got to go with Chad Henne or Brandon Allen. Blake Bortles is done. I mean, they're ready to get rid of him now and be done with it. And they had the shot. You're right, Sean. They had the chance to draft Deshaun Watson number 4 and didn't do it. Decided to go with Leonard Fournette to try and help Blake Bortles. problem is Blake Bortles couldn't help Blake Bortles, and that's been an issue, and it will continue to be an issue, and I hope it is on September 10th when the Jaguars come here to Houston to play.
Yeah, no question about that. And Johnny Harris joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. And that's a good segue, Johnny, into some of the college stuff, and nobody evaluates players more closely than you do. They're talking about this quarterback class like it's the class of 83 all over again. Are people overrating this class, underrating it, properly rating it? What are your thoughts on this quarterback class?
Well, I think this, look, you put it in a class of 83, that's pretty salty. I mean, you think about Elway, Marino, and who am I missing in that group?
Jim Kelly,
yeah. I mean, three Hall of Famers come out of that group. Now, as with every group, you had a Todd Blackledge. You also had kind of a mid-level guy, Ken O'Brien, who nobody knew. The Jets fans certainly didn't know him. And he had a pretty solid career there with the New York Jets. So I think this class has the opportunity to put that many guys in the first round. It's a matter of, can those guys get the Hall of Fame status? That remains to be seen. But I think you run the gamut with guys, with a guy like Sam Darnold. Now there's no guarantee that these guys will all declare. I mean, Darnold has talked about going back to USC after this year is over. But you talk about Darnold and Josh Rosen out in L.A. at USC and UCLA, respectively. You talk about Josh Allen at Wyoming, Lamar Jackson at Louisville. You've got those guys in particular at the top of class. You've got a guy like Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State and Baker Mayfield. So you have the numbers that you haven't had in recent years. And I think what's interesting, Sean, is I looked at his last draft class, and you had three guys at the top. You had Trubisky went second, which I thought was a little foolhardy. I thought he should have gone at the end of the round. And then you had Watson, and you had Patrick Mahomes. I think these guys are going to turn out and be really solid quarterbacks. But what a great quarterback class will have is – depth all the way throughout, and that class does not have it. This class, I think, can, because of the numbers that are there. Now, the numbers of guys could force some of those guys to say, look, I'm in this big group. I want to separate myself. I'll go back for another year, have a great year, and then maybe I could be part of the class of 2019. I don't want to put any class in 1983. I mean, that's just a separate class. And we also got to start thinking about 2004, too, with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning.
Yep.
I think this class probably more resembles that one than it would 1983. Although this one, because of the numbers that you have, could very easily get to five or six guys in the first round like they did back in 83.
Johnny Harris joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Johnny, you do a great SEC preview, and I'm going to have you give the link out to it in just a second. As detailed a conference preview as you're going to find. And I think SEC, because everybody's interested in it, it's thought to be the best conference. I'm wondering, Johnny, this season, is the SEC still the best conference in the country? And B, if it's not, has Nick Saban almost kind of ruined it from within just by how dominant he's been over the last couple of years?
Well, there are going to be some coaches that are going to get unemployment because they have not fared well against Nick Saban in the SEC West. One that's probably close to us in Houston at College Station with Kevin Sumlin. Scott Woodward, the AD at Texas A&M, has said Kevin Sumlin, you got to win X number of games. I think he said 9 wins. Well, if that's the case, I think A&M's looking for a new football coach. Brett Bielema at Arkansas, when does the clock run out on him? Well, the clock already ran out on Hugh Freeze. Ironically, he was the one who had the most success against Nick Saban. His phone calls got him in trouble, sort of like some other coaches have gotten in trouble with that. Kelvin Sampson got in trouble with phone calls, but that was a different kind of phone call. But what it's done in the SEC West is put so much pressure on those other coaches. Gus Malzahn's another one. Now, I think Auburn's going to be pretty salty this year, but I still think Alabama's better overall. And so Saban and Alabama separate themselves from everybody else. And I think that's the difficulty in looking at the SEC. I still think SEC 2 through 11 is as good as you're going to find anywhere in the country. But what you have at number one in Alabama is so far above and beyond, it's hard to really get a gauge on how good 2 through 11 are. Last year, I didn't think the SEC was that great, but Alabama was a notch or two above everybody. I think the Big Ten is going to be salty this year with Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, and if Michigan State comes back into the mix, that half, you could say, is as tough as the SEC West. I think the ACC is going to be salty with Clemson, Florida State. They'll both be in a mix. But you've got to have somebody in the ACC that steps out of nowhere. It's got to be a Louisville. There's got to be an NC State. Somebody else has got to step up, maybe even a Miami, to really, I think, solidify the ACC as a conference that people in the South Mid-Atlantic really think the ACC actually is. So I think it's Big Ten, ACC, SEC this year. I think this year I might be prone to say that it's the Big Ten, but year in and year out, it's the SEC, and everybody's trying to live up to that standard. I think the Big Ten's done it by going out and getting James Franklin, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh. That's changed the complexion of the Big Ten, and I think it's happening in the ACC, too. We've got Jimbo Fisher. You got Dabo Sweeney, who stayed. You got a guy like Pat Narduzzi, who goes to Pitt, who's a great coach. So you're changing it through the coaching, and I think that's what the SEC will do in the next couple of years, especially in the West, try and find more coaches that can compete against Nick Saban.
John, quickly, we got about 15 seconds. The website where people can get your great SEC preview.
I appreciate it, Johnny. FootballTakeOver.com. It's very easy. Go to FootballTakeOver.com. You'll see the link. SEC preview. Hopefully you'll like it. It's been up there for a while, but I really appreciate anybody that purchased it. It really helps out. So, Shawnee, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.